Lord, Lord,
with your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limit, Lord.
They bow before
Our scripture text comes from the 31st number of the psalm, or the 31st division of the psalm, verse 15, Psalm 31, verse 15. And it says, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." The Lord and the word of God is already blessed. Amen.
Good morning. Our hymn for this morning is this old, old standard of the church. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Let's sing to the glory of God.
problems seem like they'll never end. You have no one to turn to. You can lean on him. He'll never let you fall. And all you gotta do is call him. He's just a priest.
A friend of mine
and yours,
out of all the love
in the world, no one could love you more. He's just a friend of mine and yours,
out of all the love
in the world. One could love you more. It seems so crazy. The times have changed, and people seem to treat you so cold. The way they smile in your face and they talk behind your back, they're not like the friends of old. But I found a friend whose love is true. It won't change no matter what happens. Let's keep this clear. He's gonna be right here. That you can depend on him. A friend of mine and yours.
Out of all the love
in the world, no one could love you more. He's just a friend. A friend of mine
and yours,
out of all the love
in the world,
no one could love you more.
And if you ever need a friend, he's always by your side, and he will never ever let you down.
Know he's a friend. Come on, put your hands together if you really believe that. If you know he's a friend and more than just a friend. How many of you know that? Come on. I know I only got a handful of folk in the room, but somebody somewhere ought to be clapping if you know he's more than a friend. There's an old song that says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Amen. Amen. This is the time of the service where you can join in with us. It is offering time. It is offering time. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I like this part. Then he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we welcome you into this place. God, we ask that you would bless this offering, God. You know what this church stands in need of, God, so we may continue to do kingdom business. Bless this offering and bless those that have the ability to give. Bless those that don't have but want to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to draw your attention at this time. You all know Ebenezer is 118 years old, and one of the amazing things about this great facility is that we are one of the few African-American churches that still have a pipe organ in the midst, and a functioning pipe organ in the mix. So during this offering time, we're going to let you all enjoy some of our history. Amen.
I just can't give
from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Never said there wouldn't be trials, never said I wouldn't fall, never said that everything would go the way I wanted to go. But when my back is against the wall and I feel all hope is gone, I just lift my head up to the sky and say, help me to be strong. Oh, I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started from. The road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Oh, I know it didn't bring me out here to leave me lonely, even when I can't see clearly. I know that you are with me, so I can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far.
Nobody told us the road would be easy, but we don't believe he brought us this far.
I don't believe he brought me this far.
I don't believe
he brought me this far.
I don't
believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe
this is our time for our altar call, our virtual altar call, as we lift up names that we have received this week, members and friends who requesting prayer. We want to lift up Sister Janie Burns today in prayer. We want to lift up the Burtons in prayer today. Carol Newen in prayer today. Linda Gray in prayer today. Sister Lindsay, we're lifting in prayer today. Sister Lenora Ams, we are lifting in prayer today. Mentioning and lifting in prayer Bernetta Pearson and David Pearson. We're lifting in prayer Sister Beverly Bogus, who had major surgery, but is doing fine. We thank God for the good report. We're lifting up our city today. We're lifting up our state today as we are recognizing and are hearing that infection rates are going up throughout this nation, throughout the city. We are reminded that here in Illinois, we are bordered by two states that appear to have been or are appearing to be reckless. Wisconsin's infection rate are soaring to the extent that they have had to open a field hospital, and Indiana's rates are soaring. So we're remembering those who are impacted and are enduring this COVID-19. I know that many of us are COVID-19 fatigued, but don't you get weary, children. We cannot let up until this season of pandemic is over. We cannot be careless. We cannot let our guard down. Too many families have been impacted. Too many people have lost their lives. We cannot be comfortable. We cannot become familiar again until we've gotten past this season. So wear your mask. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. I know we are fatigued, but weeping may endure for a night. But the word reminds us that joy cometh in the morning. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we are coming before your throne of grace right now, O God, seeking your strength and seeking your presence in our individual circumstances right now, O God. We're lifting up those who are sick among us right now, God. We're asking, O God, that you would have their way in their lives. We know you, O God, to be a great physician. We are witness all by ourselves that you can heal our bodies, that you can restore our minds, O God. So for all of those who are seeking prayers, O God, we ask that you touch in the name of Jesus. Touch them at the point of their need, O God. We thank you, O God, that we have a Savior who can make all the difference in our lives. God, we lift up this place called Ebenezer, church we call home, O God. We lift up our church, God. You know what we stand in need of today, O God. We have great work to be done and completed, O God. We ask, O God, that we will find favor with you today, oh God. God, we're thankful for every member in this church, every partner of this church, every friend of this church right now, oh God. Cover them, oh God, with your protection. Cover them, oh God, with your love. Cause them right now to feel your presence. Thank you, God, for the gift of life. Thank you, God, that you have promised to be with us. Through the ups and through the downs, through the ins and through the outs, through the reversals and the tragedies that we may experience, you have even promised that you would walk with us even through the valley of the shadow of death, O God. So God calls us to feel your presence, O God. Calls us, O God, to hear your voice right now. God, we ask that you would just have your way. Have your way in this place. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in this church. Have your way in this community right now, oh God. Touch, oh God, touch touch everyone who's under the sound of my voice. Pour back into them, oh God, a double portion of your blessings right now. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, which is our prayer and our plea. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray and we claim it done, and we say amen. We say amen, knowing that you have heard our prayer. We shout amen, knowing that you're going to come and see about us. We shout amen, and amen, because you are worthy. You are worthy of the praise. You are worthy of the honor. Amen. Amen. You are worthy, oh God. You are worthy. We count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And amen. That's going to serve as the sermonic hymn as well. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. Glad to be back among the people today. Thanking God for Minister King for filling in this past week. Thank God for the Lord using him. Thank God for traveling mercies. If God allowed my wife and I to travel to thank personally some people who are partners of Ebenezer for their graciousness. And we had a wonderful time being able to be away for a moment. I want to go quickly to the word. I want to speak from the subject, trusting God with our times. Trusting God with our times. As most of you know, David was one of the greatest kings the nation of Israel ever had. Yet the journey to the throne was anything but quick and anything but easy, as the present king by the name of Saul did his best to eliminate David off the face of the earth. On more than one occasion, David had the opportunity to remove the threat upon his life as Saul rested in caves. This morning, I don't have time to get into the story today, but David went through tremendous times of opposition as one day at a time he would move toward the ultimate destiny God had anointed and designed for him. Yet even after he became king, his third son, Absalom, was doing his best to remove David from the throne so that he could be king. At one point, David was forced to flee Jerusalem to escape from Absalom and to spare the lives of many innocent people should war break out within the city walls. While David stayed behind, he sent his troops to wage war with Absalom and commanded his men to spare his son's life. The entire chapter of Psalms 31 tells us the story of this man after God's heart, telling of the difficulties he was facing and his resolve to continue to trust God even in times he didn't understand. Even in times where he didn't understand the events around him. Today, as was read into our hearing, Psalms 31:15, it says to us, "My times are in your hand." Did y'all hear that this morning? "My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me." The times being referred to here in this scripture refers to the various events that come into our lives, whether we see them as good or bad. Often the events or times we see as bad are the very times that move us closer to our destiny in Christ than the good times. When we realize that God knows the times and the seasons of our lives, then we can have tremendous confidence in his loving care as we walk through those times. While he may not have been the author of every event, I have found he can use every event to draw us closer to him. In our hearts, if our hearts are desirous for the things of God, then I believe we can stand on scriptures like Psalms 37:23 that says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." And you should know the person in whom God delights is the one who follows God. The person in whom God delights is the one who trusts him. The person whom God delights is the one who tries to do his will. God watches over and makes firm every step that person takes. If you would like to have God direct your way, then seek his advice before you step out and do anything. I want to share about three attitudes that we can have as we realize our times, as we realize that our times are in his hands. The first attitude that produces in our lives is trust. 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 If God didn't rule all things, then he would rule nothing. If there was a man who claimed to be a king in a certain country, yet within that kingdom there was a city that had yet to be conquered by that king, then he would not really be the ruler of that kingdom. There is a wonderful old song that goes like this: "How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? To try and tell, these lips could never start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to rule within my heart." You see, God will not rule and reign in a life without the permission of the person. If we are going to trust God with major, major details of our lives, then we must also trust him with the minor details. If he's not truly Lord of your life, then he's not Lord of any of your life. I know there are times we may find this hard to believe and to understand, but God does not allow trials to come into our lives without providing the grace or help to walk through those trials. While we know he's our king, we also know he's our loving heavenly Father, whose ear is available to hear and whose heart is desirous of reaching out to us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when in a time of need." Trust, you see, is a learned behavior. I would imagine if you looked around today and thought about a person you trusted with not only your life, but also with your money, imagine that person is in a long line at a bank. Who is that person in your life that you trust with your life and with your money? Imagine that person is in a long line at a bank, and the individual behind your friend is holding $1,000 cash with a completed deposit ticket. This person is obviously anxious and in a hurry, so your friend politely offers to help. "If you are just depositing your money, I could take care of it for you." What do you think the odds are for a complete stranger to hand over $1,000 in cash to your friend and go on with their day without giving a second thought to their money. Yet, is your friend that you trust any less trustworthy if the individual refuses to give her his or her money to deposit? No. The person just has not learned to trust them yet. But if they would get to know them, then they could trust them. Trust doesn't come naturally to any of us. Trust must be learned. In the same way we learn to trust our parents or others in our lives, we must also learn to trust God. Trust moves beyond feelings, and often we find we can't trust our feelings, but we can trust God and His Word. There are times in my life when Pamela and I look back over the years, and some of the times we have gone through, and over, God has proven He is one to be trusted. Yet, for some reason, I have to be reminded every once in a while that I can trust the same God today to be the same God He's always been. Not only should we have the attitude of trust, but I also believe we can have an attitude of submission. I know we don't like that word, submission. I know brother's favorite Bible verse, wives, submit. No, we don't like that word, and we'll preach a sermon on that later, because we'll go through that later, but. What we have to understand is submission is important. And I know we don't like that term. I never said all the points were going to be easy, but I do believe they are vital if we're going to know the victory God has for us during challenging time. James reminds us, but He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, what? Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Is there a witness in the house? I think as Christians, we can get into difficulty when we believe that somehow victory in our lives is obtained through only a constant struggle against the enemy of our souls. Yet, if we look at the order in this verse, it clearly shows that before we can ever have victory over the enemy, we must make it a practice to submit to God. Submission to God is more than the kind of attitude that says, oh, okay, I'll do it, but only because I have to submit, but not because I want to submit. What do you mean, preacher? Well, there's a story that's told. You know, I like telling stories of a mother who was driving to school one day, her youngest child. And her youngest child was standing in the seat behind her. Realizing the danger, she said to him, "Sit down. I may have to stop suddenly and you'll be thrown against the windshield. The boy said no. The mother said, "Please sit down. I don't want you to get hurt." The little boy said, "No, I don't recognize this kind of mother, because that would never have been my mother." But the boy said no. Finally, she reached over and pulled him down. He sat there sullenly for a moment, then said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Too many of us are sitting down on the outside, but we're standing up on the inside. Like a good soldier in the army or in the Navy, they know that for the sake of victory for the entire army and ultimately the country, there must be submission to the one who has rank over them. When there is submission to what authority, there is unity in purpose and plan. Yet when everyone feels like they know the answer and it's outside the realm of the commander, then chaos ensues. Submission is such a foreign idea to so many in our world today. Somehow people have been convinced that we are made to do our own thing because that's just who I am. Yet for the one who truly loves and serves the Lord, you recognize that submission is not a bad thing. But when you realize you have a loving heavenly Father and you're his child, it's no problem at all to submit. So how are we to submit to God? In all the New Testament incidences where the word submit occurs, the word is translated from the Greek word hupotasso. The hupo means under, and the tasso means to arrange. This word and a root of it also are also translated by the words subject and subjection. The word's full meaning is to obey, to put under, to be subject to submit oneself unto, put in subjection under, or to be under obedience or obedient to. The word was used as a military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. The word is a wonderful definition of what it means to submit to God. It means to arrange oneself under the command of divine viewpoint rather than to live according to one's own way of life based on a human viewpoint. It is a process of surrendering our own will to that of our Heavenly Father. I believe with all my heart that when we learn to submit in small matters, it will be no problem to submit in large ones. James says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Bowing in humility before the Lord means recognizing that our worth comes from God alone. To be humble involves leaning on his power and his guidance and not going our own independent way. Although we do not deserve God's favor, he wants to lift us up and give us worth and dignity despite our human shortcomings. In addition to an attitude of trust and submission, I believe that according to the word of God, we can also possess an attitude of confidence. Confidence. And what I'm talking about here is our confidence in who we are because of him and his grace in our lives. Since our times are in his hands, then we can also have confidence that even though we go through some difficult times right now, that ultimately we will enjoy complete victory. Sometimes we allow too much of our immediate circumstances to get in the way of our ultimate circumstances. The scripture that jumps out to me in this area is Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work for all humanity was started on the cross when Jesus died for your sins and then was validated when he rose from the grave. Then the work was started in your own life when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior by repenting of your sins and accepting what he did on the cross. And finally, the work in you is being completed and ultimately will be finalized on that day you meet Jesus the Christ. There will come a day that we will all stand and then kneel before him. Whether this happens through the rapture or death, it will happen. The other day, I was looking over some of the statistics that go along with this virus we are battling. And while I could stand here and give you stats, there's no way they would be correct because even now they're all over the map. But the one stat, though, I tend to focus on more than any other is the death rate, which is not nearly as bad now compared to the beginning because we know who is most susceptible and vulnerable. But as I was thinking about this, my mind went to a scripture that lets us know the death rate for all of humanity. And it is this. Hebrews says, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The reality of all this is that the death rate for humanity is 100%. When we know that our times are in his hand, then we can not only have confidence about the day we live in, but far greater than that, the time when time shall be no more, which is called eternity. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am persuaded is equivalent to for I am confident. I am confident. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, where you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. When we know our time is in God's hand, we can trust him that he knows exactly what we are facing, when we are facing it, and how long it will be, and where we need to walk through it in victory. When we know our time is in God's hand, we can trust him that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. When we know our time is in God's hands, we can trust that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up of wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. When we know our time is in God's hands, we can trust that when we pass through the waters, he will be with us. And through the rivers, they shall not overtake us. When we walk through the fire, we shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When we know our time is in God's hands, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm going to trust God with our time. For in this life, and particularly in this year, we are faced with struggle. But we must press forward and trust God and overcome doubt and unbelief. The old saints put it this way: I'm going to trust in the Lord. I said I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord till I die. And then they picked up that second verse. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on the battlefield till I die. I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust him in our times. The word of God for the people of God and all of God's people said, amen.
I will trust.
We're going to open the doors of the church. As our musicians lead us, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Perhaps there's someone who is watching via our online stream that wants to put their trust in the Lord. We're extending an invitation to you to join with us here at Ebenezer and give your life to the Lord. I'm going to trust.
I will trust in the Lord.
Come on, come on, come on.
I will trust in
the
Lord.
If you want to give your life
trust
to the Lord,
put
your information in the chat
section.
And we'll have one of our deacons or our church clerk to follow up with you. Now is the time. Now is the time. If you want to come by letter, Christian Experience, we're opening the doors of the church to you today.
Whoa. I'm going to stay on the battlefield.
I'm going to stay on the battlefield.
I'm
going to
stay on the battlefield.
Till I die.
I'm going to stay.
I'm going to
stay
on the battlefield.
Stay on the battlefield.
I'm going to treat everybody right. I'm going to treat everybody.
I'm going to treat everybody right. I'm going to treat everybody right.
I'm going to treat everybody right. Just want to make a couple of real quick announcements. Want you to be made aware that Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church is having a blood drive in partnership with the Community Blood Center Tuesday, October 27th from 11:30 to 3. If you are interested to schedule your donation appointment, please visit www.save3lives.org. Or click on locate a blood drive and enter sponsor code CS03. Appointments are required to ensure appropriate social distancing and photo ID is required. You also can look on our webpage and our Facebook page for additional information. We also want to say congratulations to the Metropolitan Community Church that celebrates today 100 years of ministry. They are celebrating today, all this week, and we wish Pastor Perry and the faith community of Metropolitan Community Church all the best as they celebrate 100 years. They are some young fellas compared to Ebenezer, as we got them by a generation. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Also, many of our members have already received. I hope you have received, and we want to use this moment to share. Please, we sent these cards out. It says Ebenezer. I don't know if we can get this on the camera, but it says Ebenezer, you must vote. So all of Ebenezer, Ebenezer's partners, Ebenezer's friends, we are encouraging you to go out and vote. Early voting has started in many communities. I believe in the South Suburbs, it's coming soon, I think tomorrow. And so whatever it takes. Somebody say whatever it takes. If you got to sit for 8 to 10 hours, bring your chair, bring your chicken in your shoebox, whatever you got to do, but you have to vote. And I'm glad that this stream goes all over the country. So wherever community you live in, you have to vote like your life depends on it. Because guess what? It does. It does. We can't tell you who to vote for. But vote. Whatever it takes. You got to go to Aldi's and get you a shopping bag with some water and some snacks, whatever you got to do. We're serious. We're joking, but we're serious. We cannot sit this one out. We cannot sit this one out. Vote. I don't care who you like, don't like. We cannot sit this one out. Amen. Ebenezer, you'll be getting, I hope some of you have already gotten our newsletter and some other things that we're sending. There's some other things that are coming with a major, major appeal that we have to address real soon, like real, real soon. And we'll tell you more. I don't want to like to utilize the Facebook stream to put all our business on the street, but I would just say I